Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hello and welcome.
Hi, I'm Mike Sweeney. I'm a writer on The Conan Show.
I'm Jesse Gaskell. I'm also a writer on The Conan Show. Conan at home right now.
Yes, Conan at home. We're still employed, I think.
We had a brief hiatus. What did your hiatus look like?
You know, it was hard to downshift after 7 weeks.
From first gear into park.
Right. I faced a different way in my home office for 2 weeks just to mix things up and got a whole new perspective on life. How about you?
I started taking a picnic blanket out into my backyard and putting it down to pretend like I was...
Is that true?
Picnicking? Yes.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't pretend. You were picnicking.
It was nice. Yeah, I was.
Did your neighbors say anything? Or did they just look at you and nod sympathetically like, yes, whatever you need to do?
All of my neighbors have been spending so much time outside. So like one side has, I think, some sort of home gym set up that involves mostly like banging sticks against tires and then rolling tires up and down the hillside.
Is there a lot of loud grunting? And
yes. And then the other neighbors have a baby that I think they are sleep training on the porch right now.
Great.
Yeah.
Outside. They're outside, training the baby outside. If we're going to go through this, everyone's going to go through it. That sounds like a living hell.
It is. I decided my passive aggressive way of fighting back was to play my music at like a six.
Oh, man, that is ballsy.
Yeah, I know.
Your dog, Charlie, must love that you're around all that. Does she think like you've fallen in love with her and quit your job to be with her?
Or? Well, and now she doesn't leave me out of her sight for 1 second. If I go in the bathroom, she follows me in there completely.
Where's she now?
Codependent. She's at my feet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but I went and got eggs from Linda.
Oh, Linda. Linda in our wardrobe department. Oh, that's right. It was your first time up there. I'm a veteran of the egg pickup. So
I know.
What'd you think?
She said that you were on the list ahead of me, so I had to wait until you got your egg.
I don't know what that means. I think she tells everyone that.
It's up in Altadena. It's very far out into the Angeles National Forest.
It's at the base of a small little mountain range.
Yeah. I used it as an excuse to go for a hike.
Good.
Which was nice.
And how did the eggs enjoy the hike today? I picture you picking them up first and then taking them. She lives on a crazy compound up there. It seems like a place maybe Manson looked at.
I was just
going to
say, yeah.
Maybe the rent was a little high.
Not close enough to any celebrities.
Exactly. You'd have to kill scientists from JPL, which is, anyway.
Well, should we start the show? We have a guest. We recorded this. I think that people will probably understand, but we recorded this before the pandemic.
The pandemic was just a glimmer.
Just a twinkle in the president's eye. So Kristen Schaal, we got to interview her. I think you'll become aware of something very funny at the beginning, which is that she seemingly thought she was being booked for Conan's podcast.
Right. Which I guess has more listeners or is, what's the word? More popular? But anyway, by the very end of the interview, she was almost starting to come around to talking to us. So, no, she was great, but it was, I love the way it started.
So here's Kristen.
Who who else is doing this? Just us?
Just us. This
that
is
sounds
it.
Good. What's yeah. your name again?
I'm Jesse.
Jesse. I'm sorry,
that's
Jesse.
Okay.
We just like to
are
dive
we starting?
Right in.
We, dive
we
right
can
in.
Start.
Yes,
do you have an intro for your podcast?
We do, but we record do. It later. Yeah. So
how does it go? Is there a song?
There's
yeah,
a little
there's
bit
a song.
Of song. It's like there's a great fanfare.
Right. It's kind of a knockoff of Conan's theme song. Done,
yeah.
Casio? It's very pleasing to the ear.
What's this podcast called?
Inside Conan.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not
no.
here.
No.
No.
He's not
it's
here.
Inside the Conan show.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a bait and switch.
Yeah.
You think you're getting Conan. But these two.
Is this the Conan show that. The Conan podcast that was like number one?
No, no.
Yes, that's won all sorts of awards and accolades and loved by millions.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Oh, I see what happened.
So he has a podcast
happened.
Too?
He does. So yeah. you thought you were going to be on that podcast?
No, no, no.
What I'm
I knew I was going to be with you guys.
Are you?
You chose yeah. us.
I knew I was. I've never listened to his, but now that I'm thinking about it, clearly he does the interviews probably.
Yeah.
He does.
Sorry, guys.
No, this is great.
No, I've done this before. I just wanted to.
Do you want to call your manager now and complain? Or
oh, I don't have a manager. I fired them. I don't have anybody. No, okay, great.
Is that true? Do you not have any reps
I have an
right
agent.
Now?
Okay. I have an agent.
Oh, okay.
A UTA.
Uh-oh.
I got it.
Shout out.
So what's Conan's podcast called?
His is called.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Right.
Oh, okay. So that's the one that was in all the magazines.
That's the one that, yeah.
That's the one you turned down to be on this
exactly.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when your ex-agent waved you off of. Work your way, start with Inside Conan.
No, I'm going to have to talk to him later today. Why would I talk to him twice?
Exactly.
I'd rather talk to you guys.
Save it for them. Listen, asshole.
But yeah, we talk to people who usually are guests on the show who have some connection to mm-hmm. the Conan show, have been sort of part of the Conan family for a long time.
That's me.
That
another awful question, but important, but not really. How many people listen to this podcast?
It is through the roof.
There was
is
one
it?
Week where we were like number 8, I think.
Ooh,
and right. I was excited.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
And now we'll be number 8 again.
Yes. So because how, so is, because Conan's podcast is,
yeah.
where is that at?
Oh, that's
like millions.
Is it number 1?
It's up there.
Is yeah. it, because it, it's number 1.
I mean, we're not metrics people. You know?
Yeah.
We're all about creativity and just making things.
Mm-hmm.
And if people like them, that's great too.
I am all about that.
Yeah.
It's so. Like the artist way. Yeah. But
once
our listenership
larger.
Is very passionate.
Oh, you don't have to sell
and
yourself. I'm on this
it,
one. And you know what? If Conan
seems...
ever asked me to do his, I would say no.
I feel we no. do have to sell you. I feel it's touch and go. It's going to be touch and go the whole way.
Well,
you could leave. You kept your coat on, your
yes.
outer coat.
I'm cold.
Yeah, it's your coat.
I think
right.
that this is, for me, more comfortable because I get nervous about podcasts because I start talking very freely
yeah.
and then drive away and realize that a lot of people are listening. This is better.
Your secrets
for me.
Are safe here.
We are offering you safe harbor here on Inside Conan.
Yeah, this is
anything
this
goes.
Podcast is my speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't like anything, we'll cut it out.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Yeah.
That's
oh,
what
has
they
that
say.
Happened to you or that
oh,
where
have you
they didn't
screwed?
Cut it out?
I don't know. I don't listen.
Yeah.
I don't,
okay.
I end up
yeah.
not listening.
So, Kristen, you're on the show later today.
I am. I'm going to be on the Conan
you're
show.
You're going to be on the Conan show.
Family.
This is
oh.
good. This
no, I didn't tell
oh.
my family.
Oh.
They don't know where you are right
kinda
now.
Kind of snuck up on me. Yeah. Because will it air tonight?
Yes,
yeah.
it
oh,
will air tonight.
Brother.
We're renaming this podcast, Questions with Kristen.
Oh, my gosh. Am
I love it.
I'm sorry if I'm
no,
being annoying.
No, I love it. Okay. I want more questions. This is great. I like it
someday
much
I
this
would
way.
Like to have my own show.
Oh,
yeah.
It
would
be great.
Show.
Well, you're
yeah,
very inquisitive. You,
I know. I actually yeah. do get curious about other people. But I but
what
I don't
sort of
know
guess what do you have on your show?
See, anyone and everyone. I'd take them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, but particularly like,
oh,
when
like,
you fantasize about it, I bet it's not oh. showbiz people. I bet it's
like Monica Lewinsky.
You know what? I've never even fantasized about the guests. I've only fantasized about me sitting at the desk, soaking in the lights.
Yes.
Isn't that disgusting?
It's just you talking.
It is just me and my fantasies. That's so gross. I totally took out the guest equation.
I think that's where it starts, though. It's got to start with you as the host.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, guests down the road.
No, I'm starting to think you do have what it takes to be a late night host.
I think so. I mean, I'm probably not, it's probably not going to happen, but maybe on the next version of Quibi, I could get it.
You're already planning on this one to fail.
Well, yeah. The podcast is a good intro too, right? You guys maybe you guys could have your own show.
Oh, no, this is as far as my aspirations go. Yeah.
Is that right? So working on Conan, you work on Conan, just here.
Yeah, I'm
both
a writer.
Writers on the show.
Yes, and for a while, how come you never wanted to step into the Conan's job?
Yeah, Jesse.
I think I'm just a natural submissive. I don't know.
I don't. Dominant position.
Yeah, I don't really have. I don't think I see myself that way, and I'd rather not, because if I tried and failed, then that would be too much vulnerability.
Oh my gosh! Oh,
it's very a lot of vulnerability. You'd be great. I think you'd be wonderful.
No one wants to.
I'm not. I'm not just saying that because we're on microphone. You'd be great. When I started Conan, I was doing stand up. I was happy actually to start writing stuff for somebody else. That was that was more rewarding than I thought it would be.
Really? Yeah. What? Why?
Well, I like to shoot and edit things, so that process I really enjoyed. I don't know, it's like a different way of getting laughs, and there was still the awfulness of things things bombing
right,
all the time,
yeah.
And everyone just avoiding looking at you. So the rejection, the bad feelings were all still there. But when things went well,
it's more of a team.
It's like, more of a team, yeah. And that was all. It was all this a whole different skill set that was fun to learn.
Did you do stand up, Jesse?
Just for about a year, so no.
Oh, yeah, you're in the club. Yeah. When you did stand up and you had a bomb, you know, we all know that terrible feeling. When you
had a bomb.
Yeah, had a bomb.
Make it sound like it only happened every few days instead of every night.
When you give a joke to Conan and you don't know if it's going to work or not and it doesn't work, does that feeling exist bigger or lesser when he takes the bomb of the joke that you gave
him? I think it's kind of the same. A lot of times the jokes I thought he'd love – nobody liked. Mm-hmm. And the joke that I put on at the last second and be like, no one's going to like this. That's the one. And I had the same feeling in stand-up. Like, it's very – how about you? Because you – continue to do stand-up. Do you?
Yeah, how long have you been doing stand-up? Look,
yeah, we segued on that. Right? On to you. Guns trained on target.
I've probably been doing it off and on lately and heavier, like 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And you're right. It's sort of a reflection of what's going on, you know, personally and professionally in my life. In my 20s, it was like, this is what I do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you must love it because you're so busy with so many other projects. A lot of people would be like, okay,
that's
sorry, I don't have time to do stand-up.
You've made it.
Too bad.
And you're still doing it.
Yeah.
Well, and some people would say I'm not doing it. I mean, I do it every Monday night because we have a long-running show.
At the Virgil, right?
But yeah, that's still doing it.
On
yeah,
Santa
the Virgil,
Monica.
The hot tub show with Kurt Brownler. So, like, tonight I'll be doing it. And I've been able to come up with some new stand-up, finally, that's really dumb. But it makes me laugh, and it's coming out easier. I think I've sort of been wandering around the last almost 10 years, 8 years, doing stuff that's like, I'm not going to do props. I'm not going to do surreal stuff. Sure, I'll talk about my life. It's so much easier. And then I've been doing it, and it's not been good. It's not been great. But also, I've been doing it at Hot Tub. Like, I haven't been touring. I haven't been, like, really doing stand-up. And as soon as my daughter gets a little bit older, which is soon, she turned 2. I think I'm gonna I told my husband, like, I'd like to open it up again, but that means I'll be gone more at night.
Right.
It's one thing to be gone in the day when you have a nanny or daycare, but for stand up you have to be gone at night.
Right.
Yeah, really late
to be good, to hone it and make it good. So I don't know. In my 20s, it was great because of like a place to go at night. But
right. And you were, didn't have a ball and chain.
I know.
I didn't have a family who loved me, which was like my main goal. Like, have it all.
Do you write stand-up about being a parent, or what's your sort of angle now?
I've like written stuff about breastfeeding because I had just like so much milk and it would just explode all over her face.
Oh, wow.
It was good. It was good.
You have to talk about that.
I know. I had to get it out. I was like, I had miscarriages. I was talking about that, but that was kind of less funny than I thought it would be. But I was just trying, like I said, I was trying to like reflect my life.
You were working through it.
What's going on? And it's been okay. I think it's hard to find stuff that really works with people who don't have kids and people who do. I don't know. And I don't know. It's hard. So I'm not working on it that much. I'm not making it good, but I have said it out loud on stage. Yeah.
I think you have that rare quality of like you can go up there and just sort of trust yourself that you'll figure something out.
Oh no. Only to this little.
You've totally misread.
Only to this. Yeah. This little theater that I've become comfortable with for 15 years.
No, but I've been there. It's I mean, it's a real crowd.
It's a big show.
It is a real crowd. Yes. And
here in LA, we might as well tell people. It's a great live show.
It is. It's a small little show.
Yeah.
And we have the best producers, Joel and Mandy, and they put up, there's so many good comedians.
Great comics.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's just like an endless, you can march them off a cliff. I mean, there are so many good ones.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Reality show.
There, it's just.
You've moved to a new venue.
Yeah.
The Cliffs of Santa Monica.
They'll keep coming. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No.
And they're all good. It's like, there's always someone on Hot Tub every Monday. We do it every Monday that I haven't seen before. And I'm always so impressed. You know, the future might look bleak, but it's not looking bleak for comedy, guys, because there's so many funny, awesome comedians coming up right now.
Well, and that's true. I mean, people do say that that's true of like, you need a sort of an oppressive regime for art to flourish.
Right.
And I think there was not a lot of art being made under Obama, so...
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, it's just good feelings. And why would I make fun of anything? Things are perfect.
So, Kristen, do you have a routine for when you're going to do a late night appearance? No.
Oh, no. Well, I'm going to talk to Conan, and I'm still a little unclear what we're going to chat about.
Okay.
This is the first time I've been a little more like loosey-goosey with Conan, because we had that the superhero thing this summer
and last year.
Yeah,
and it was for Comic-Con,
and it was very improvisational. And I'm just like, well, maybe we can do that tonight. And if I'm wrong, I just won't tell my parents to watch.
That's why you didn't tell anyone.
Well, that bit was amazing.
Yes, because Conan like turns on his improvisational buzzsaw when he does a remote and he's just on. And you were, I was there when you were shooting it, you were right on with him and just hilarious.
We had fun.
You were
his
funny.
Arch nemesis.
It was a fun premise. Yeah. Right. It was exciting to get to do it. You guys still have my costume.
Yes. Do we?
Yeah, I don't have it.
Did you want that back?
Let's see how this interview goes.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I don't know if I would ever wear it. Yeah. Or I would go.
Maybe
you own it. You bought it.
Up in the bedroom.
Right. I mean, how expensive was that? I don't think you could get to my private cards through it.
It's good promo.
Do you think
for
it
that
was
company,
like
Ironhead.
Four figures?
Probably.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It was four figures.
I bet it was.
I think. And that's with a big discount. I think they gave us discounts.
Yeah. Because it was advertising.
That was wholesale.
We should explain what it was. Last year at Comic-Con, the year before or 2 years before, Conan got a superhero outfit made by the people who make all the, you know, Batman,
Iron,
DC, Marvel. Ironhead. Right in Burbank? Or no, Van Nuys. Yeah. And last year, I think Levi McDougall, one of our writers, had a great idea. Let's give Conan a nemesis, an arch villain. And don't know who pitched you, but it was like.
Who pitched me?
It's the per.
Let's say
you, Jesse.
It
might have
been Levi.
It might have been Levi.
Yeah. Let's give Levi all the credit. We can issue a correction if we're wrong. And everyone just was like, oh my God. So we were just praying you were available.
Yeah. And I was like, hell yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
And
I was very, very free.
You had a.
you had a
baby.
A small child. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was still pretty free. She was over a year old.
Were you still breastfeeding? Was this?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you didn't have to worry about the
Oh,
milk.
I would have remembered.
Oh, yeah.
No. Bubbling over.
Based on your routine. But yeah. You refer to your uterus as your baby house.
An abandoned baby house.
Which I loved. I thought that should be the new medical term.
It is a good term. And I had to say, I think that I got that a little bit from Tina Fey because we were shooting 30 Rock and she had just had her second baby.
Ah.
And she had just gotten her period and we were both enter the scene and she's like, oh God. I think she said this abandoned baby warehouse.
Oh.
So I think I stole that from Tina Fey, but have you guys met her?
No,
I mean, I would wonder if you'd be friends because the world is so small.
It is a small world. I met her back in New York where she'd be on the show a couple of times in New York.
Yeah, I'd love to meet her.
In the early days.
But no one's introduced
her. The early
yet.
Days of television
comedy. I haven't seen her in so long. You know, I was so excited to be on 30 Rock because she was a hero, is a hero. And at the time, it was like you could count on two fingers the women who had their own shows that they ran and were stars of. And
I know. I can't think of the other
Roseanne
one.
Roseanne. I think Roseanne and probably a little bit I Love Lucy, or at least she owned part of it. Like, she was a little bit more than the star. She was.
Right.
And so I was like, maybe I could have that too. It was very exciting. But I would always talk so loud around her because I was so nervous and it never went away. And then, even though she was very nice, then I was at an Emmy's Governor's Ball party for I was probably a guest for Rich or somebody for The Daily Show or something. Anyways.
Rich is your husband?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have a husband who wrote on The Daily Show.
Sorry, fellas.
Yeah.
She is accounted for.
I am accounted for. Oh, she was like, Kristen. And it was Tina Fey and her husband. Their daughters had gotten into Gravity Falls. So it was just fun because I feel like they were a little bit fanning out for me.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Just for a second. Yeah. But I was like, good. I gave you, just like, give you something. You know.
And all of a sudden, Tina Fey started talking loudly around
me. I like, keep your voice down.
Yeah. It's please. Like, I'm just a human being.
Yeah, come on.
On Gravity Falls.
Be yourself. Oh, God, I was a mess.
Do you get recognized just for voice roles? Because you do so many voice roles. Do people hear your voice without and going, wait a minute, you sound just like.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool.
It is kind of fun. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen and it's fun. I think sometimes parents will try to get their little ones to be like, that's so and so.
And
they'll just look up at me like,
They're like, no, it's not. That's because that also is animated and this is a real person.
Yeah. Whenever your parent, you know, your parents are forcing you. And like, if they had discovered it on their own, they'd probably love it. But when your parents are, just leave me alone. I've met voiceover people. I mean, you're, you know, known for so much on camera work that you don't have this issue at all, but they're, what people who only do voiceovers, who when you meet them, they're the second thing they'll say to you is they start listing all the shows they do voices for. Have you ever run into people like that? Or is that just me?
Because they want you to know who they are.
No one recognizes them physically. So,
I haven't met those people.
Oh, okay. Well, they're out there.
But God bless them, because you know what? Like, those are the people who are holding up the animated world until they decided that they had to get some name recognition.
Right.
Yeah, that's all changed a lot.
And I'm not going to call out specific, but these are A-list actors. So when you see them on screen, they're incredible. And then you hear them in the movie and it's a dud. It's just line after. There's no life in the voice. It's like you have to close your eyes, and if there's life in the voice without the face, then put it on. But if that's just, I was like, you just killed this movie with this A-lister.
Right. Your favorite voiceover work. Do you like if there's a group together, or do you end up having to do it like going
just alone
a recording
in a room.
By yourself?
It's almost always by yourself.
Right.
The director will be there, and they'll read it with you. Sometimes they're just read it over and over. For Bob's Burgers, though, it's a very unique show that we all record together.
Oh,
fun!
So
that sounds great.
Yeah, it's great. It's most of us live in New York and Boston, but we can use an ISDN line and call in, and we're all doing it together on Wednesdays.
Oh, so a lot of times you're all in different places, but still you can hear.
Still recording at the same time.
Oh.
It's really great. That's great. It's, if you want that on your animated show, get people who don't work that much.
Don't get A-listers.
Right. We're not going to have time. Right. But we have
time. And they'll ruin it anyway.
Yeah.
Because when you have done projects where it's just you alone, do you ever get to hear what other people are doing? I would be like, I want to hear what other...
Yeah.
Who else went first?
No, you don't. You really don't. It's but the director has heard it all and been coaching, and so they know. And
yeah,
they're good. They're
okay.
Good. Yeah.
They're good line readers and can,
And also you give it to them, at least five different ways. At least I do.
You're a pro.
I give them, but just different readings so that you can fit it together like a puzzle later.
Mm-hmm.
Give them choices.
That's what it's called. Choices.
Choices.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And what would be your sort of ideal thing? You've mentioned a couple things. You mentioned maybe wanting to host a late night show, wanting to star and produce your own sitcom. What would be like, what's on your vision board?
Well, I've got, I really would like to have like some version of like a talk show thing where I think that would be fun. Just to get the hair and the makeup, to do a little
like,
chat at the top.
Guess what? It's going to be animated.
The whole. Oh. I know. It's fine.
Do the hair and makeup. You want to?
You can still do the hair and makeup.
Yeah. I guess I could.
That's important.
So that would be fun someday. Yeah. I always think, in my late 40s or something, maybe I could do that because that's when women are really hot. And the older they get, the more visible they are, the more wanted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna earn it. You know. Yeah. And then. Yeah, I'm developing a show that I'm really excited about. That's kind of like a live act. It's like kind of inspired by Pee Wee's Playhouse. It's a live action show that is tailored for kids, but adults hopefully will love it too. And it's got cruel. I don't want to give too much away, I really hope it goes. We turned the script in with my husband. I wrote it. We turned it in last week.
Oh wow!
I want it so bad. I'm not gonna get it. And then the other thing, and then a show. I'm just developing shows, but I got cast in a show that I'm excited about. I haven't told anybody.
It
happened on Friday.
Oh wow!
Or like last week, a week ago. Yeah, it's maybe you got, do you have kids? Do you have kids?
I do have kids.
He has kids, but his are
they're 25 and 22.
Oh, okay.
But they're very immature. They'll like this if it's for young
people. Well,
kids.
It's based on these kids' books called The Mysterious Benedict Society.
Oh.
Yeah. I haven't heard of them either, but I'm going to study up real good.
Hopefully they're short.
yeah, they're like Harry Potter type.
Oh.
But
cool.
It's a series, yeah. Oh. You follow kids, mainly it's the kids, but I am one of the adults. And Tony Hale is one of the adults, too.
Oh, that's great. Are you a good person or a bad person?
I think I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm a good person. We film the pilot next month if we can.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I was just like, can we?
Right.
And then,
coronavirus? Oh.
It's being so scary. Like, I'm here to promote a movie that was supposed to come out next weekend that's getting pushed back.
It is?
Another month because of coronavirus.
Oh, my gosh.
And all this.
Only a month. I like that. That's up to James Bond. They moved back 7 months.
Till November. Well, so my movie moved to James Bond's slot.
Oh.
Is that funny? I think they were like, you know, there's going to be a lot of empty theaters.
Hold up.
So... We'll see. The future is bright.
Yeah.
It is bright. It got exciting, you know, there and developing shows and stuff. I would love to see something I made happen. Like, I've written a few pilots and movie scripts, but it's rare to see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Movie scripts especially seem ridiculous. Just read a couple of books about people who went through trying to get a movie made.
Oh,
and they're really successful,
like a whole decade.
Writers. Yeah. And it just seems like a endless nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know how it happens anymore.
Right. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it's cool when it does.
Well, and you mentioned writing with your husband.
Yeah.
How do you often write together, or is this the first
all
thing?
The time.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I know.
That's kind of rare that works.
I think it's because he's better than me at writing, and
do you
I know
make
it.
Him
you have to say that. He's one of the 20,000.
And I know it.
Does he do the typing and you're like in a beanbag chair?
Yes.
Kind of just like throwing paper airplanes. Yeah.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah, he's always typing because I've typed before and then he's gone and reworked it. And that was like, okay, you just do it.
So do you build parameters during the day? Like no discussing the project while we're making dinner or is it wide open? Like you can just, I guess I just thought of.
Yeah, it's
business
pretty much
with pleasure.
Wide open. See, I think the ideas that we work on together for me are just always pleasurable. A new idea, story, show to me is just like gives me like life. Sometimes it's like, what are we doing in this world?
It's hope.
Yeah. And then when you can talk about, you know, this idea or that story, then it's like, I don't know, it just feels there's an endorphin, you feel excited.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I also have a problem too where I don't know about you guys, but as soon as there's a new idea, I am like, it's like a drug. I'm like, yo, gosh, this is so good. I love it so much. And you're just like telling everybody about it.
Yeah.
And then like one day later, it's an old idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh, that one, that'll never work. And I think that's part of a big reason why I don't have anything.
It's so hard to commit to one idea, too, because I love the process of having an idea, but then actually having to follow through on that idea is the part
the
I don't
worst.
Like.
Well, that's the work.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't like the work part.
I see myself successfully enjoying the premiere. Everyone got the idea.
Right.
And then the next day when you have to roll up your sleeves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, no. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's like here, you pitch an idea and you're kind of like, please don't pick it. Please don't. Because the second, then it's like, oh, no.
No, because the fun part.
Hours of work.
It's having people laugh at your idea.
Yes,
and then that's it.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wait. So I didn't really catch this
more
part.
More questions. Uh-oh.
But you were saying that
with Kristen Chong.
You felt bad when your ideas, when your jokes bomb, that Conan says.
I mean, usually.
Most of the things he says that you write are winners, but sometimes there's a stinker. So what is that feeling like afterwards? Is it like, ugh, or do you feel less ugh because you didn't have to be in front of the crowd?
It's in front of the crowd. I mean, if you're bombing, it's 20 ughs in a row.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
Well, and there's the nice thing for Conan is that if he didn't write the joke, then right. he kind of can separate himself from it. So if it really bombs,
yes.
he can then shit on the joke.
I've heard him do that. Yes. Yeah. He'll throw you guys under the
exactly.
bus. Exactly. You're hidden.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's win lose.
And okay, then the audience is back on his side again. And so then he'll get a huge laugh. And then even if I was the reason for not getting the laugh in the first place, I still feel partially responsible for
You can still
the
go
big laugh. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I saved your ass up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I don't need to talk about your failures.
No.
Oh my God.
But I'm just interested if like if it's for me, I wonder if I would feel worse if a joke I gave to someone bombed as opposed to if I just went and took it.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Like you throw yourself on the grenade.
Yeah, but that being said, maybe whoever delivered the joke.
Yes, there
could have
you
done
go.
It better. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing.
Now you're getting it. You've opened a whole new front.
He's not here.
That's right.
Let's take
oh my God, this is that's mainly what this show is for.
Well, you probably always have great crowds
at the hot tub show.
At the hot tub,
we do, but we also have regulars, which I'm slowly coming around to because I've been able to write some new material, but. They're every night. Like
yeah, because otherwise you could be doing the same material every week.
And getting it better and better.
Yeah.
But then I'm always like conscientious, like, oh, God, Ryan's listening to this again.
Oh, Ryan.
Even though he's perfectly nice and a very good audience member.
Is he nice coming every week? I think that's
I know. It's a little aggressive.
It's a little aggressive.
Actively aggressive.
Yeah, you know, someone should talk to Ryan.
No, when I was coming up, I would go to Eating It at the... Did you ever go to Eating It in New York?
No.
Well, let's talk a little bit about when you were first doing stand-up. Was that in New York that you first started?
Yeah, and there's a show called Eating It that... I think it was Marc Maron and Janine Garofalo.
I know.
Janine Garofalo and Marc Maron started it at the... And it's no longer there. It's condos, but it was in the East Village. And you would pay $7, but you would get a drink ticket. For a free drink.
That's a great deal.
Yeah. And it was this tiny room. And I was just moved to New York and I was like, oh no. Like, what did I do? I don't think I can make it here. I mean, I stumbled into this show and it was like it was like the perfect comedy room for me because it was alternative and cool. Right. And they were trying out new things. And it was like Eugene Merman and John Glazer and Todd Barry and John Benjamin and David Cross and just all these white guys. And then I and I was like, I'm going to stay in New York. And I went to that show for 2 years and just stood in the back and watched and left after, didn't talk to anybody.
Really?
Until I finally got up the nerve to like give them a tape to Jeff Singer. And
Jeff Singer produced
it. He produced it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then I did this.
So, were you simultaneously doing open mics other places?
Yes. Yeah. So then I would do open mics at Surf Reality, which was Face Boy's show, and Collective Unconscious, which was the Reverend Jen's show. And then The Pit, I think I was doing stuff at the People's Improv Theater too. Mm-hmm. And eventually, what led to really getting the career revved up was I started a room called The Hot Tub Show. With Kurt Brownoller at the People's Improv Theater Monday nights. And that's when I had to, we were booking the show too, which is the hardest job you can do.
That sounds, and you're like a traffic cop because you have to deal with everyone's schedules.
Yeah, and meet everyone. But it made me like, instead of leaving Eating It right away, I would stay and I would chat up Dimitri Martin and find Michael Showalter and just as many white guys as I could. And then all of a sudden, they're your friends and they're inviting you to your show and their show and you're doing stand-up many nights a week, and you're getting better at it.
And was this right out of college? I said, I'm going to move to New York and
I went to New York right away, I was watching it and doing it, and it was hard. It took a while. It took a while to kind of get clicked in and really start doing it. Where were you doing it?
In L.A. Okay. And I was simultaneously, I mean, I had like my fingers in all the pies.
Yeah.
Because I was doing improv and stand-up and sketch team and like
yeah,
you know, also trying to write mm-hmm. Sitcoms and stuff at night. So yeah. I was just trying to see what was gonna maybe
stick.
Yeah, what was gonna strike?
What
first.
Did you enjoy the most?
Well, I ended up really, I mean, I liked the joke writing part of stand-up, but I hated performing. So I
oh,
think
did?
This was, yes. Like, I love the feeling after performing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you just get to eat hot wings and drink beer in the back.
What a great club. hot wings.
Well, that was, I guess we would, because I did a couple shows at IO West when there were some booked shows. When our theater was still open in Hollywood.
On Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah.
And then we'd go to Big Wang's afterwards and have hot wings.
I mean, I don't know, that feeling, I liked even for tonight, a little bit for Conan, like, I just have this, like, not a doom and gloom feeling, but just, like, a bit of a serious pall. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not quite myself before doing a stand-up show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a nice feeling.
Right.
You're about to become incredibly vulnerable.
It's stressful.
And it's stressful, and it's not happening till the night. And I really do feel stand-up is a total day ruiner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially if you're doing it once a week. Like every Monday, your head is counting down to Monday
yes.
night.
It's yeah, like, oh, I would start Sunday. On Tuesday. I would start dreading it.
Yeah. And I don't know if that goes, it hasn't gone away from me. I mean, I wonder about people like Ali Wong or like who are like touring stadiums.
Right.
Or,
mm-hmm.
Is it like you know that you're so good that it's fun? Like, when does it become fun? It's fun when I'm doing, like, right when I go on stage and I'm doing it, it's fun. You're just doing it. But leading up to it, that whole day, it's like,
it's
terrible.
But it's also a muscle, right? So if people playing Giants, they probably are doing it every single night. And then that has to make it
then
easier.
Go away, right? Yeah.
It would have to go away or you just have IBS all the time.
Get used to that feeling. Yeah, you're like, okay, I know this feeling. You know what? I felt this feeling before and the show went fine. Let's just not feel this right now.
Yeah, that's like therapy speak. Yeah.
Well, you have to have her on and ask her about it.
We will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. We'll tune in.
We'll get back to you.
We'll get to the bottom of this. I think you met Conan for the first time on film.
Oh my God.
In that documentary about his live tour called Conan O'Brien Can't Stop.
Yeah, probably.
You're in the movie. I think you were friends with Reggie. You came by with Reggie Watts, who was the opening act.
Yes.
And you dropped by and
I gave him a crocheted ice cream cone with his face on it that a woman, and I'm forgetting her name, but she crocheted a Penelope Princess, a Pets doll for me. That was my web series.
Yeah.
And she's so talented. And
that's very difficult to crochet faces.
Oh, but she's an incredible artist.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
It is hard.
I believe
it.
And then she made that ice cream cone. And she asked me if I could get it to her.
Yeah.
And it worked out that Reggie was doing the show that night.
Right, right. So at Radio City. It was Radio City Musical.
Yeah, that's right. That might have been the first time I met him.
Yes, because I watched it. And you're like, how do you do? Nice to meet you. And he was like, nice to meet you. And then his assistant,
and then you
Sona,
gave him the ice cream cone?
You were in...
Yeah.
Yes, and that's all in the movie.
Yes.
And you were in Flight of the Conchords at the time. So Sona...
Oh, yeah.
Was a big fan of that show.
So that's probably how I got in. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be like, no.
You threw
and it was all
around.
Just to smuggle
this
thing
cone
in.
Artist fan.
You said that on, you said, I'm not a fan of yours, but I was asked to give this to you.
It's true. It's true.
And it's all
and it remains true.
I do have a Conan shirt. Is the late night? What's the show that he got booted off of?
The Tonight Show.
I got a Conan Tonight Show T-shirt. I went online and got the merch.
Yeah,
I still have it. Just the shirt, but I was like, you got to get that.
Like the one.
Do you guys
that,
have yours?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I want one. I should look on eBay.
Come on by. I have 1 year for Christmas. We got one year.
Yeah.
The only year. 1 year. One of the many, many That winter, that Christmas, we got Tonight Show luggage. It was a nice luggage with the Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien. Wow.
So that's a collector's item.
It is a collector's item.
Do you use it or?
I just use it traveling
with Conan?
To and from. Yes.
Just a reminder.
Yep.
Well, that's probably worth something the way that when they make like a Super Bowl t-shirt for both teams that might win.
Right. Yeah. Now, moving out here after, like, for that. That's why you moved out here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you guys like it out here, or do you miss New York?
I really like it out here.
Yeah.
When did you move out here?
2012.
Okay. And why were you just getting a lot of work out here, or what made you move out here?
Oh, God.
I
wanted to be out here working, and I was sort of sitting in New York waiting for them to offer me a job.
Right,
I was like, well, you really got to be in L.A. to do that. And my husband was working on The Daily Show, and it was one of those things where I just had to wait until he was ready to move on from The Daily Show, because that's an incredible job.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pull him out of that. And then one day he's realized he was done.
And
what also helped is our landlords was like, I'm raising your rent 13%. And we're like, okay, so there's two things.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You told the landlord to raise it. I've got to get him.
It's the only way.
I really need to get out of here. I'm not going
to
be on SNL. There's no other comedy jobs here. Like, I did 30 Rock. Like, I got to go.
Law and Order is the only thing left.
Yeah, I did Law and Order. I did SVU and Special
Victims. Did you do SVU?
John Stewart's going to quit.
Criminal Intent. Yeah, Stewart's. I did The Daily Show as many times as they'll have me. Like, what's left?
Wait, I interrupted. What did you just say? You did?
Did you actually do Law and Order?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Yes, I did.
Yay.
Criminal Intent and SVU.
Wow.
Were you an attorney?
No. On SVU, I was a crematorium worker. And then.
Typecast.
Yeah. And Kurt Brownell and I have this bit. I want to do this bit again where we start this sketch by saying that we're like the Olsen twins. And we had a showbiz career where one would get tired, the other one would step in.
Yeah.
And then we show my bit on SVU where Chris Maloney's like, it's a frat party that went too far. And he's going through a box of the deceased items and he pulls out a frat paddle. And I'm just sort of, I give him the box and I'm just like looking. And then it cuts to Kurt Brownell being like, a paddle. Like, you have to see it. But it's a kind of a favorite bit of mine. Anyways, and then on Criminal Intent, I played a girlfriend of a Russian terrorist.
Oh my God.
And I have never seen it. I wish. No, I don't even know who it was. Yeah. I was just doing the interviews with the lady cop.
And you had were you Russian too or no?
No, I think I was just stupid.
Naive.
They don't replay that one. You don't get a copy of it because they make so many. They don't give the actors a copy. Right. So it's either you see it or you don't. If anyone's ever seen it, let me know.
All right, we'll dig it up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure someone will probably reach out to us.
All I remember about it is I was doing the scene with the woman who has short red hair. I don't know her name. But
well, the main Criminal Intent woman? Or
you only know white males' names.
Yeah, so I only know white comedian males. But anyways, I was just telling her my sob story, and she was looking at me like, oh, no, no. And I had this moment when I was doing the scene where I was like, oh, that's your job every day is like looking at people with that
like
face.
Like criminals,
you know, telling you their sad stories.
Yeah.
And I felt sorry for her. But while she raked it in, I mean, she probably really enjoyed that job.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a weird job.
It's like being a therapist.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Before we go, Kristen, we have one more question for you, which is, if you were to give one piece of advice to a person listening who might want to do what you do, what would it be?
A piece of advice I would say is, I feel like in this business, there's like a lot of times where you feel like you should be doing it. And there's equally a lot of times where you feel like you're not good enough to be doing it. And I think that it's okay to have both those feelings and to not think that one of them, the one that you're not supposed to be doing it, is better. Just to be kind to yourself during those moments. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to start beating yourself up mentally.
Yeah. And then you beat yourself up about beating yourself up.
Right.
You're like, oh, now I'm always down on myself and I'm mad at myself for that too.
Yeah. Just be kind to yourself. There was a point when I didn't want to do stand up in my 20s, which was scary because that was the time to do it. And I remember someone was like, Steve Martin didn't want to do comedy for a while. And I was like, what? Like, that's okay? Yeah. Like, it's okay to, like, want to...
Those little quotes can, like, last you four it's or five weird. Years.
Yes.
Yeah. You just latch on
totally.
To it.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Where you're like, John Hamm was 39 when he became a star, you know, and you're
I know.
Always,
George C. Scott didn't start till he was 30, and he won Oscars.
I would say those... Oh, and also, people are always like, how did you get into voiceovers? That's the question I get the most.
Yeah.
And I always tell them it took 15 years because it wasn't about my voice or my talent. It was mostly about the people that I came up with from the beginning. Like Eugene Merman was friends with Lauren Bouchard from Boston, and he was playing around with, you know, a little pilot for Fox, and that was Bob's Burgers. Mm-hmm. So that was a very lucky thing, but also those are the people that you're with right now that are unemployed and doing stand-up with you at night and, like, scrounging. And those are the people that are going to be getting their chances to have their own shows later. So just really support your peers because you're all in it together, but you're all going to rise up together in 15 and to 20 years.
Yeah. Hopefully help each other.
Yeah.
And take over.
Yes, yes.
That's great, advice.
Yeah.
Kristen Schaal, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And break
Have
a leg
Have a great
tonight.
Show tonight.
Okay.
Two great shows.
I hope it's as good as this podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, man.
That was Kristen Schaal.
She's great.
Yeah, she's hilarious and fun to talk to.
She and Kurt Braunohler are still doing their weekly show, The Hot Tub Show.
Yeah.
But it's virtual
now.
Yes.
So it's called the Hot Tub Home Edition.
It live streams Mondays at 8 p.m. on Twitch Pacific.
Pacific time. It's a great show. I've seen it several times. Always really funny.
Yeah, they always get great comics. Yeah. And I guess a lot of people have been watching. So nothing can kill comedy.
You know what else? Can't be killed answering fan questions.
Yeah, that's right. It's Har from Finland. Do you two still remember your first sketches that went on the air and what were they? You know, I was thinking about this. Technically, the first sketch that aired was a remote that I worked on.
Ah.
Does that count?
A field piece. Yeah,
yes,
of course
field
that counts.
Piece.
Wow, you dove right in.
Well, I mean, I think I was thrown in. Well, no, it was a fun one. I worked with Jose Arroyo on
another writer.
A remote where Conan delivers flowers for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, he went to a flower shop and
in the valley.
And was taking in real orders and then going off and delivering them. And for some reason, we ended up getting an order for Mark McGrath, the lead singer of Sugar Ray.
That just worked out that way, huh? That Mark McGrath?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that like for you? Were you nervous or like, when do I pitch ideas while we're shooting?
Yes. That was
the
hard part.
I
didn't really know what the rhythm was supposed to be. And so there was, I remember there was one point where there was a slight lull in the conversation and I leaned in right next to the camera to pitch a joke to Conan.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't the right time, let's just say. And the withering look I got.
Just a look. That's good.
Yeah. Or maybe he said something like, well, that was worth it.
Sure.
But I did learn from Jose that he will often bring a notepad and then he'll write things out on the notepad and hold that up for Conan.
Which is really smart because something you think of in the moment can go out your head for all time because you're just moving on to all these new moments. So that is a tough judgment call.
Yeah, because if he's on a roll and he doesn't want to be stopped, then you've ruined all the momentum. Although we've talked about this before, in many ways, that might be his favorite thing of all is when he gets to lord that over us.
Of course. He calls them Scooby snacks.
Sweeney, do you remember your first sketch?
I do remember it was like a desk piece. The first one that like I pitched and then kind of produced and wrote the whole thing Wow. It was during the O.J. Simpson trial. So it was in February of 1995. You know, it's all anyone was watching on TV. And
yeah.
I just had the idea, well, how are other cable networks covering the trial? Because everyone was trying to jump on the O.J. bandwagon. So it was, I just showed like the Weather Channel covering it, and public television had Bob Ross, the painter, and he was, the jury was anonymous. So it was him trying to paint the jury and imagine, like, oh,
let's
that. Just give them different faces and it's your jury. You can do whatever you want with them.
That's great.
Someone suggested Robert Smigel to play Bob Ross, and he was great.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was fun. And that's the last thing I did on the show. That's why I remember it so clearly. All right. Well, that was fun. Please keep sending in questions.
Yeah, we love your questions. And you can email us at insideconanpod@gmail.com. Or you could call and leave us a message. We like those too.
Yes, at 310.
No.
I don't know.
323-209-5303.
Operators are standing by.
They might be sitting.
See you next week.
We like you. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Jen Samples.
Engineered and mixed by Will Becton.
Supervising producers are Kevin Bartelt and Aaron Blair.
Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco.
And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.